Jamaica bracing for more severe weather, even as Hurricane Melissa moves offshore, and officials warn the island is not in the clear with dangerous winds, heavy rainfall still in the forecast. Melissa remaining a powerful Category 4 storm, continuing to pose serious threats to the region. And joining us now with the perspective on the storm strength and what comes next is Paul Gross, former WDIV Channel 4 meteorologist emeritus. Paul, good morning.
Well, hey, how are you guys on this? What I'll call it a very sad morning.
It is sad. What's the latest on Melissa and where is it headed? I know it hit the Jamaica.
Cuba.
And so where's the latest?
Yeah, so it's right now on the northern Cuba coast, on the eastern end of the island, the eastern side of the island, and it is now down to a Category 2 with 105-mile-an-hour wind. Keep in mind, when we say 105-mile-an-hour wind, that is the maximum continuously blowing wind right in the eyewall. Typically, it's on the right or the basically the right side of the eye, and so that's going to be moving back over the waters and later today going over the southeastern Bahama chain. And so this is just the gift that keeps on giving. It's then going to head toward Bermuda actually late Thursday night, but hopefully maybe we'll stay far enough west of Bermuda where they will be spared the very worst of it.
Paul, talk about Jamaica and that direct strike. They haven't taken a direct strike from a hurricane in like 40 years.
Well, and this is the strongest Atlantic hurricane of all time, right?
Yeah, I was going to say it's the strongest Atlantic landfall. So the strongest landfall of any Atlantic hurricane in recorded history, and it also had the third lowest barometric pressure of any Atlantic hurricane as well. And so this hit Jamaica as not just a Category 5, but as a strong Category 5 with 185-mile-per-hour winds and gusts that were over 200 miles per hour. Now, the one saving grace, and I'm saying saving grace, is that those strongest winds only extended about 20 or 30 miles either side of the eye. So that gives you, you know, a 40 to 60-mile wide area that got the worst damage, whereas, for example, the eastern part of the island wasn't hit as bad. It was hit with hurricane force wind, but that's important because they have an airport there, you know, in Kingston, and you know they're assessing now to see if that airport is in good enough shape to start bringing in relief supplies. So the condition of those airports, especially the one in Kingston, is going to be real critical to getting aid into that island.
Paul, we talked to you about cuts to NOAA, and NOAA, you know, forecast this and teaches people where to go, where this storm is going to hit. How did it do this time around with some cuts to NOAA?
Well, first of all, the forecasters and also the hurricane hunters, all these government people that provide support for forecasting these storms, they're all without paychecks right now. And so I do not know staffing levels. I know that they were down to the bare minimum of flight directors for the Hurricane Hunter aircraft that fly into those storms and provide critical data. But I don't believe, at least not to my knowledge, any of those flights were canceled because of the cuts. But I put on my Twitter feed some of the video from some of those people yesterday. I mean, there was actually one point where one of those Hurricane Hunter aircraft actually could not get to the center of the storm because the turbulence was so bad they actually had to turn back. But these are real heroes, and again, they're working without paychecks right now.
That sounds so scary that you're flying into the strongest Atlantic storm that's going to hit landfall. I mean, God bless those people for that work.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough money for me to do that job.
I'd love to tag along on one of those flights someday.
Well, that's where you and I differ.
Yeah. What were the conditions? Why did this storm become so powerful? What were the conditions down there in the Atlantic that made it ripe for this?
Well, at first, it was kind of struggling along as a tropical storm, but that's because it was encountering wind shear. Wind shear is a change in the strength and the direction of the wind as you go up. And so wind shear is death for hurricanes. But once it moved away from that wind shear and it got into more favorable conditions atmospherically, now it was over abnormally warm ocean waters and it just exploded. And that rapid intensification is something that's the toughest thing for us to actually predict with these hurricanes, is the intensification, the rate of intensification. And models were already starting to pick up on that, and it just exploded over those warm waters. And then the fact that it stayed south of Jamaica long enough to stay over those waters, it really became a monster. Then it curved to the north, and then it's just like threading a needle when it hit Jamaica.
Paul, we're seeing more frequent Category 4 and 5 hurricanes in the Atlantic. Is this part of a long-term pattern tied to, you know, warming oceans, or are we just in an active cycle of intense storms?
Well, unfortunately, our future is no longer our future. We're living it now. And what's happening, nobody has ever said that a warmer climate means more hurricanes. That nobody has ever said that. In fact, some people say there even could be a few less. The thing is, with these warmer ocean temps, which is the fuel for these storms, hurricanes that develop in favorable conditions are going to be stronger, and we're going to see more rapid intensification. Like storms like Hurricane, I think it was Helene, was it Helene or Milton? I think it was Helene last year, the rapid intensification of that storm. And then 2 years ago, the one that blew me away, things that I've never seen in my career, we had a tropical storm, okay? Its name was Otis, that was heading toward Mexico, and it was going to hit in a day. That tropical storm became a Category 5 hurricane in 24 hours. I had never seen something like that before in my entire career. So the future is going to be not necessarily more hurricanes, but it's going to be hurricanes that have the ability in overall favorable conditions to strengthen more rapidly and be stronger. Now, if they stay out at sea, no big deal. But if they hit land, it's a big deal. And you think about it, we've had, I think, five Atlantic hurricanes that have reached, I think four out of five Atlantic hurricanes this year have reached a major hurricane status, Category 4 even, or better. So
yeah.
they were definitely stronger this year, that's for sure.
It's tough for some of these island communities, too. Their infrastructure is not
right.
Great
right.
Enough,
the Prime Minister,
as it is.
The Prime Minister of Jamaica says there is no infrastructure
right.
in the region that can withstand a Category 5.
Well, and Paul, you tweeted out that 530,000 residents are without electricity in the aftermath of Hurricane Melissa.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to do something. I want to read you because, you know, the NOAA has a Saffir-Simpson scale. You know, that's the Category 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want to read you the definition for a Category 5. I put that on my laptop here because I want to read this to you. Category 5, catastrophic damage will occur. A high percentage of framed homes will be destroyed with total roof failure and wall collapse. Fallen trees and power poles will isolate residential areas. Power outages will last for weeks to possibly months. Most of the area will be uninhabitable for weeks or months. That is the damage path, the damage footprint, if you will, of a Category 5 hurricane. And this was a stronger than normal Category 5 hurricane. This wasn't your run-of-the-mill Category 5 that hit Jamaica.
It's just it's scary stuff to think about, and hopefully people are in an area where they could get food and electricity.
Yes.
And you know, I don't know if anyone has lost their life. We haven't heard anything like that yet.
Yeah, it really is. It's a sad, sad situation. I mean, and again, it's hard to portray what people go through, but imagine being in a tornado for hours and hours and hours on end because of the slow movement of this hurricane. This hurricane was moving very slow, and so they were exposed to those winds for a much longer period of time than with, I'll call it, a normal speed of a hurricane that's moving through. So think about being in a tornado for hours on end. That's what they experienced down in Jamaica.
And Chris found this out on NBC.
I was just reading NBC. At least 7 hurricane-related deaths have been reported across the Caribbean, 3 in Jamaica and in Haiti, 1 in the Dominican Republic, and the 3 people in Jamaica died in accidents during preparations for the hurricane. So,
this is going to change.
This is
catastrophic.
Yeah, and people don't talk much about Haiti with this particular storm, but the outer rain bands, they put a lot of rain in southwest Haiti, and that's obviously flash flooding and mudslides and things like that. And Haiti is a very poor country. They don't have the ability to deal with this stuff. So that's kind of, you know, one of those stories that's kind of been shoved to the side because Jamaica, rightfully so, is getting all the attention. But you know, Haiti is hit hard with a lot of rain from this.
Paul Gross, former WDIV Channel 4 meteorologist emeritus. We appreciate you all the time coming on and giving us that information when we have these types of storms, and you always give us great information, and we appreciate you.
Well, listen, glad to be able to explain it. You know, these hurricanes, they give us a lot of teaching moments, and there'll be a lot of research that comes out of this, too. You know, that's another thing with those Hurricane Hunter flights. They're going to give us data for future research on these monsters.
Very good. Thanks, Paul. Coming up, we'll talk to a couple of students from Kettering here, a mechanical engineering student, also a computer engineering student, and get their stories. That's next on JR Morning. If you're over 50 with memory concerns or worried about someone you love, it's time to put brain health first. Alzheimer's can begin developing long before symptoms appear, and early detection can help you take charge of your brain health. Join us Saturday, November 8th for Capturing Memories at Insight in Dearborn, a free community brain health event. You'll receive a memory screening and a simple blood biomarker test, a $500 value at no cost. Get results within days, a personalized brain health plan, and a telehealth visit with a neurologist if needed. There's free food, and you can bring a friend. Advance registration required. Spots are limited. Register today at mybrainday.com. That's mybrainday.com. Start your brain health journey today. Presented by Neurogen Biomarker.